this is Lisa from Geek Pop. You can listen to us on Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, and our website, geekpoppodcast.wordpress.com. Don't forget to like and share us on Facebook and give us a rating on iTunes. Pop in your geek every week.
I don't know if you guys... Do you guys like Will Smith movies in general?
Yeah.
Well, when they're good.
I enjoy them.
Yeah. Sometimes they're shitty.
Yeah.
But sometimes they're great.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're...
I think generally...
Never mind.
I think generally...
What are you getting at?
I couldn't do it in time.
You're trying to do an Aladdin joke. I know you
no,
were.
No.
Okay.
Okay.
No. So I was going to do a Wild Wild West one, but I couldn't get it in time to,
I don't know
to
what
make it.
Oh.
To make it work. Because
I
enjoyed
you were going
Wild
with
Wild
a little
Wild
bit
West.
Of column A, column B type of thing.
No.
Okay.
So I think generally his movies are pretty watchable. You know, he did Enemy of the State, and then most recently Aladdin I thought was good.
Little independent feature called Independence Day.
Independence Day. Like I think he generally makes pretty fun movies.
Yeah. For the most
so,
part.
So Ang Lee and him collaborated together and made this, I think, kind of interesting sounding movie called Gemini Man. I don't know if you guys...
I've seen
the trailers, and you're like
advertising it quite a bit.
Doesn't look bad, like the CG model of Will Smith in the trailers. Granted, they're quick cuts.
Yeah, which is pretty amazing, by the way, because I totally thought there was, you know, just assuming from the ads. Oh, they're de-aging, but like it's a full CG model.
CG.
I mean, Will Smith is doing all the mocap for it. It's
yeah.
his performance,
but
it's still a fully CG as opposed to him just being touched up digitally.
Right.
You know, like,
we won't be able to see the 4K 120 frame per second. Version. I guess there's really no theaters out here that are able to show that.
Oh, wow.
In 3D? Maybe in 3D. Oh, it says, hold on. Paramount Pictures and Dolby Cinemas that only 14 U.S. theaters will be able to do it.
Yeah.
Wait, so what exactly? Like 4K?
All right, here we go. 120 frames per second. 4K,
oh, Jesus!
3D.
120 frames per second.
Yeah,
so that's the big. Okay.
That's
like triple Hobbitses because Hobbit was 48 frames per second.
I thought it was 60.
Oh, sorry.
I don't know. I thought it was
well because typically films are in 24
you have to
frames
double
per second
it because there's only half a person.
No, <it's> a no, typically most things are 24 frames per second. Hobbit was double that, which is 48.
Okay, so
120. Yeah. That's like Jesus.
It's
that's
a
like
lot.
Games.
Yeah.
So their argument is like for it to look as real as we want it to look, where you wouldn't be
like zero motion blur.
Well, they want to destroy the uncanny valley, and they figured they think this is the way to do it.
Frames per second.
That's an interesting approach, given that the response to the high frame rate of the Hobbit, because the Hobbit I was about to say James Cameron.
Peter Jackson
really pushed to have a lot of theaters have the 48 frames per
right.
second. I made sure to see like The Hobbit in 48.
Mm-hmm.
I was
mm-hmm.
really excited
mm-hmm.
to, and understandably, a lot of the reaction was very mixed. Our eyes are so used to 24 and seeing that higher
sharpness.
Frame rate, like kind of threw a lot of people off. That's made some people sick, even
Well, you can see the fakeness of movies, and you don't want
yeah.
that.
Yeah,
that's my argument.
Yeah,
yeah, no,
you
that,
see,
that
like,
it felt more like a play in a
well,
sense.
You could see things so clearly,
yeah.
and you're like. Oh, wait a minute. That is clearly
yeah.
not as old or as,
lived in, worn.
You
yeah.
know,
yeah.
You can
no,
see.
I get exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, I remember the first Hobbit took me about like 15 minutes for my eyes to fully adjust to it. It became really crystal clear. I appreciated it towards the end of the movie. But I remember
mm-hmm.
early on, like because there was such a lack of motion blur, like it felt to me like I was watching something fast forwarded. Even though I know it was going at a regular rate, like I don't know, it was weird.
I didn't get that. I didn't get that.
More, it felt like a stage play or like
something
going on right in front of me and not a movie.
I don't think the Hobbit was as bad. I think World of Warcraft is my example where it was just like, boy, this looks cheap, even though it was decent.
Yeah,
but that's not the point. Gemini Man, which is Will Smith and Ang Lee's, they cloned Will Smith to because he's the best assassin. They just made
mm-hmm.
him better, younger,
right.
faster,
yeah.
stronger. it's a little absurd, but it looks good.
Yeah.
They argue that this version that the 120 4K 3D is the best way to see it, and only 14 theaters in the U.S. will be able to project it.
Yeah,
sweet.
I mean that sounds like that's probably a really expensive equipment. You know, there's probably plenty of theaters kind of going like,
well, not
we're
just
trying
that.
To make, we're still struggling
we're
to make
still
money.
Trying to do 3D.
Exactly. And even then, like the 3D fad is obviously gone, and that was a big way for them to get extra revenue. So
even
I can understand theaters not wanting to jump on paying for all this.
Even the IMAX will only be 60 frames.
Plus, how many movies are going to get that 120 frame? You know, like, oh, we can
right now
Gemini Man,
Avatar
one.
Exactly.
But
eventually, yeah. Avatar.
This is the first that is probably with a line of movies that'll eventually be like this. So anyone that did this probably won't see their money back for the next five, six, 7 years, maybe, because no movie right now is being that I know of made like this.
Sure,
I don't think so. My only guess would be the next would be Avatar
James Cameron,
films.
Right? Would that motherfucker be like, it's James Cameron,
500 frames per second.
And everyone would be like, well, okay, James did it.
So much more work for the special effects too. You know, you have to render that many more frames.
Well, if they can look, and this is just me, if they can honestly crush the Uncanny Valley, where I don't recognize it anymore, fucking A.
For it.
But at the same time, I don't think frame rate is the only way to do that. We all saw Blade Runner 2049.
Yeah,
2049. Like that, my God, that was like that crossed the Uncanny Valley for me. I thought like that totally looks like Rachel recreated.
Oh. I could spot the...
Really?
She looked dollish, yeah.
Okay.
There were a couple times where just like she looked too smooth.
Sure, all right. Well, at least for me, that was...
But it wasn't bad. That wasn't really good. Yeah, that wasn't say it was bad.
And it's funny considering that, it's different for everybody. I remember a complete gamut of reactions to CG Tarkin in Rogue One. there were people, most people who knew who Peter Cushing is, like, knew from the get-go, oh, that's obviously CG, were coming out saying, like, oh, it was obvious to me, it was too gimmicky. And then, but there were still legitimately other people who didn't know who he was, which is like, how the hell do you not know Peter Cushing?
I didn't meet anyone
who didn't realize
know.
That guy was CG.
That's a tough.
Yes,
one.
I'm not saying it's common, but there were definitely people saying online, like, my mom had no idea there was a CG man in that movie. Everyone's reaction's different. You get a different projection. You get a different theater. It could affect the way.
I will say, and I trust Ang Lee. Like Ang Lee movies.
Yeah.
This collaboration is maybe interested in actually seeing this one in the theater. I'll just say that. No joke there. By the way. Welcome to Geek Pop. I am Big Chris.
Lisa.
Brian.
Enrique.
And we have got a great show moving forward. There's no... What would a younger version of us be like? I'm going to be a little dick.
Yeah.
I don't know about the rest of you.
I mean, I was kind of a... You ever, like, see anything you write from, like, 10, 20 years ago, and you're like, oh, man, what an asshole.
No, but I relive my youth every day and night when I try to go to sleep.
Sure.
Because I only can remember the stupid shit I said and did.
Oh, okay.
Sure.
Jesus Christ. Okay.
But Will Smith, he gets to, meet Fresh Prince.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's all. Actually, I didn't think of Fresh Prince. I thought of, he did another movie. I think it was called The Six Degrees Separation.
Oh.
It was one of his first big movies.
Okay.
Hmm. Well, he didn't star in it. He was just starring in it.
Sure.
Yeah. And he looked very much like that.
For one thing, like Will Smith hasn't,
he
hasn't aged very much.
No.
So even, you don't see a huge visual difference between the 20s Will Smith and the, he's like 49.
I would say in the last few years, he's aged more.
Sure. I'm just saying on screen, I just remember watching that Gemini Man trailer for the first time going like, they don't look that different. He's aged pretty well.
I thought the opposite. I was like, damn, Will's looking old.
He's got gray hair, fucking wrinkles, and
he's what,
smooth.
Like
I don't know why they
now.
Gave him the 90s haircut, but whatever.
Because that's what he looked like then.
I guess. Exactly. I don't know.
That's probably a lot of the reference photos they use. It's just him when he had that hair.
Yeah.
I mean, what if they put like a giant fro on him? You wouldn't accept that.
I'd accept a bald head, but it's more like almost an old military cut.
We've never seen him with a giant fro. Maybe that's part of why.
And that's why I'm saying, you wouldn't accept it.
Yeah.
But with that, that's a hairstyle you've seen him with, and he's being raised. I'm assuming his younger self is being raised by the military, so I would assume he'd have a military hairstyle.
And to go to that extreme too, it's like, yeah, we haven't actually seen him bald when he was young too.
Sure.
He didn't shave his head. He kept it at that 90s haircut.
And it's interesting, it's a major challenge when they do that kind of de-aging or in this case, a younger CGI version of him for big movie stars. Because, famously, Martin Scorsese's Irishman is coming out very soon, and that has Robert De Niro in four different ages. you know, including young man, you know, like in like,
people,
that. You know, he's been a famous movie star since Taxi Driver. Mm-hmm. People know what Robert
De Niro.
Robert De Niro has looked throughout his life. So there's that extra challenge of like making him look.
I just Googled Will Smith Afro. Nothing in the first 30 searches. I stopped.
There we go.
No,
if he ever
Will Smith
did, he
was
wasn't a big star then.
There's one person that like halved his face, like did a reflection of the other side where he had sort of big hair, and it looks kind of like Afro, but it's not
an Afro.
Yeah, so I don't know. I guess Will Smith never had an actual Afro that I can remember, even though he's done, like, I know he's done a couple period pieces. I mean, he did Ali, but he never had a...
It's growing.
Why?
Oh,
I think it's past.
He never has. Well, yeah, he can still grow.
A lot of pictures were of his son with his fro from... The Get Down.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome movie. All right. Or TV show.
Show.
That's what I meant. But you bring up Martin Scorsese because we are about to talk about something he allegedly didn't have a hand in anymore.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't realize that until few hours ago
let's throw the spoilers in. Meow.
Send in the clown.
The following contains spoilers for Joker. To continue spoiler-free, skip ahead to 49 minutes and 34 seconds.
One who keeps tearing around and one who can't move.
Okay. We are totally going to review.
I thought you were actually laughing because of the thing.
No. It was because of the meow. Okay. Sorry.
We're reviewing the Joker.
Not just Joker. No, the.
Just Joker.
It's like Facebook. You drop the.
Joker. Whatever. Martin Scorsese apparently, allegedly, no one has confirmed this besides
Scorsese,
sources.
No.
Sure.
That he actually didn't, he produced the movie, but he wasn't doing anything of the work. He had his assistant or someone do all the heavy lifting.
So I didn't. Yeah, I didn't realize until earlier today that he was not credited at any, or at least, you know, if he was,
he's
involved.
Credited.
Oh, he is.
He's still credited.
Oh, I thought I read that he wasn't credited. Okay.
I'm
well,
sure
in any
credited.
Case, I think partly just because we knew from the get-go, from when we first heard about this movie happening, that he was involved, because that was part of the mindfuck of like, oh my god, Martin Scorsese wants to produce a Joker movie. With Joaquin Phoenix and Todd Phillips directing, like that was crazy.
Well, it's just one of those names didn't seem right.
Yeah,
but okay. Well,
especially
I don't know how to.
He said recently
I
about
don't,
Marvel.
I know.
I was like, dude, didn't you just do one of these?
Yeah, exactly.
I think that lends credit to him actually not doing it. But apparently, they used the same crew that did Irishman. I think that was part of it too. So maybe
like, I chose these guys. They're good. Go for it.
Obviously, he was busy with the Irishman the last, you know, couple
we
of
We haven't
years,
seen
so
that, but from what I'm hearing, it's pretty amazing.
We're talking about Joker.
We might as well talk about Joker. Do we need initial thoughts? Yeah, we might as well. I wanted to go in this movie not liking it, and I ended up coming out really, really appreciating it. Mm-hmm. A lot. Now, that's not to say I love this movie, but it was... insanely well done.
I can agree with some of that.
Yeah.
I think. Did we all see it, by the way?
Yes,
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I had plenty of qualms about this movie, and especially with recent comments from Todd Phillips. Like, there was part of me just kind of going in, like, I don't want to support this guy. Like,
just take that part out.
Sure.
We're talking about the movie.
I know. But that's part of why, like, I went in kind of reluctantly, and. I don't know. I mean, well, all in all, I'm going to say a lot of things I didn't like about this movie, but I do want to say from the get-go that I feel like the last act really saved it for me. If you had asked me halfway through this movie what I thought, I wouldn't really have anything good to say about it. I found it rather unsettling and not always in a good way, but then I feel like the last act sort of saved it.
I think that's what the whole movie
I
was.
I feel like that was the point of it, though.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think because we're so used to watching heroes and good people... It's really weird to watch a movie with the villain as the hero.
I agree.
In a hero-ish role.
Yeah.
So, and I think he and wasn't as clear-cut as bad as, like, was it There Will Be Blood, the milkshake one?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But there were some goodish characters around there where we're pretty much stuck with Arthur.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
For the majority of the film.
Yeah.
And
I think the entire film, I don't think there was a frame... That he wasn't
pretty
much,
in every single frame.
Yeah.
True. Well, I just
or at least
meant
every scene,
the character, but not
yeah.
Yeah, but because then he becomes a Joker.
Well, as opposed, like, oh, sorry to interject, but sort of like it reminds me a little bit of like Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad is a show where you're watching Walter White become a terrible, terrible person, and part of why you can still sort of like you still have emotional anchors through like Jesse and through you know through Skyler through other characters that you know are still good, you know.
Yeah, and you don't have
you
that
don't
with
get
this.
That with this. No,
not at all. Yeah.
Well,
so
Walter also started off with the best intentions.
Right.
I wouldn't say best, but he started with good intentions.
Sure. He wanted the money.
For the cards that he was dealt, he did the best that
he
could
to
do with
money.
What he had.
Yeah. This isn't that case.
No.
And
no.
I found the whole movie literally a kind of stomach turning because there's just so many scenes that are really disturbing. And I think it's, for me, like that left a really, it made the movie fucking interesting. It gave it so much goddamn flavor. Let's pull it back real quick. So I want to point out that the movie was kind of ambiguous in its timeline, but it felt, and I think Todd Phillips mastered this, it felt like a 70s, 80s movie. The way, even from the title screen, the way it was shot, the colors.
Yeah.
I totally could have, if I wasn't so clear of a picture, like I'd be like, this could have been made back then.
Yeah, they even used the classic, like old
Warner Brothers logo.
Yeah.
I noticed that. I'm like, oh, fucking Superman. Yeah.
Actually, the only time when it wasn't like kind of broke it for me was because they used a music that was kind of more now at times instead of the back then in the 70s, like that that song that they usually play during the like ball games and stuff like that.
I think that's actually accurate of that time.
Oh, it is accurate of that time.
Early 80s. Yeah.
That was a Gary Glitter song. I think,
only because I thought it was more recent. That's why it broke it.
I'm pretty sure. I could be.
It had a big.
I don't think I'm wrong.
No, I think it's an older song, but it had a big. I want to say resurgence in the late 90s because it was attached to football.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So I think that's why you're seeing it that way.
I think sports in general.
Sure. So it is something just with me only. But like other than that, like I felt like this was a period piece that was perfect than that.
Well, I felt like what he couldn't get away with what he did in a time frame much more recent.
I disagree, but it would have been harder.
Well, I don't want to say the movie is like meant to be like floating in that way. Like I think it was a very particular, like I mean for one thing, to jump to much later in the movie, we see the Waynes come out of Zorro the Gay Blade. So that very specifically dates this movie. You know, like when
So does Excalibur and the other one. But the point is, like, that's not what he was trying to do with that. Like, we know that after researching it. But
and as well,
the movie
I like that
feels
it
could have been made back then.
Yeah. I like the period.
Late 70s, early 80s.
Right.
Sure. And I like the period approach of it, if not just because it's an origin story for the Joker, but also for Gotham in general, for Bruce and, you know,
I
even
also like
such a small part of it.
The allegory, if I'm not mistaken, was always that Gotham was kind of like a New York-esque city.
It felt like New York.
It's like the dark part of New York where Metropolis is supposed to be a good New York.
Yeah. I think even like Frank Miller, I think it was, who once said that like Metropolis is New York in the daytime. Gotham is New York at night.
Yeah. And that's what this feels like.
Yeah.
It feels 100% like that. Like it is obviously New York, even though they're calling it Gotham.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. But it feels dirty and it feels grimy and it feels like it could exist.
They have super rats.
Super rats. They get super cats and then they get the snakes and then the gorillas.
Yeah.
Yes.
From the TGRI canister that fell into the sewer.
Yeah.
I would also like to mention, acknowledge the sound, which I didn't fully appreciate till halfway through the movie when I realized, like, I think some of the music we're hearing was it was him hearing it, not...
I loved this score. She did an incredible job with this.
There was a part.
Part of that is like why, like I think that ending was really great.
We'll get there. I'm sure we have thoughts before that. But there's a scene where we first see him dancing after he does his murders.
Yeah.
And if they had just played it like him dancing to nothing, it would have been like, oh, he's fucking crazy. But us hearing the music that I think he was hearing in his head, made it a little bit more like we share this moment and.
Yeah.
It was very impactful.
And also just in general, I'm glad to, you know, because I'm sure plenty of us have heard about, you know, a lot of the controversy leading up to this film and you know, a lot of the worry, like there was that, you know, it was in the news about how the parents of the Aurora shooting were writing letters to Warner Brothers to try to prevent this from coming out. You know, and granted, this is all based off, you know, before people had seen it, but, you know, just what they were worrying about it. And I carried some of that worry into this movie, too. This worrying, like, I don't want this movie to, like, especially with him being the main character, to sympathize with or justify his actions. And I'm happy to say I feel it doesn't.
It
presents that, you know, him, his actions as being the horrible actions that they are.
Yes.
They are, I think, if you're the right kind of person, you could sympathize. Sure. And I think,
but you could do that with anything. And I understand, like, there was a worry about this being a fucking call for the loonies. For but once you see this movie, you realize that it's not that.
Yeah.
It isn't. And
and any person can misinterpret it, art in that way. And obviously, you know, people can, obviously for the wrong people, for the, you know, like, it might inspire them in certain ways. But at the same time, like we, in the same way that we don't want to be pointing fingers at video games for violence, you know, like, obviously the whole world has video games and you don't have, like, shootings all over the world. But, like, yeah, at the same time, movies are an escapism in the same way that video games are.
And we understand where it was born out of this movie because Joaquin Phoenix, by the way, like, I understand why they're like, oh, he should get another or be nominated for another Oscar.
He was incredible.
He's fucking great.
He's good. Yeah.
It got to the point where, like, I'm a little worried about him. Like, well, that was okay.
He lost so much weight for this role for one thing.
Give him a goddamn sandwich as many as he needs.
He's doing the Christian Bale method. Just there was so much. Himself,
you know? Like, I remember, like, people say, like, whenever they play the Joker, like Jack Nicholson, and obviously we know about what happened to Heath Ledger.
Yeah.
Like, I really am worried about him in this one.
And I don't know if that's a callback to all this or an intentional meta Easter egg, but, you know, I think it's in the first 5 minutes of the movie she asks him for his journal, and it's basically the Joker's madness. And if I'm not mistaken, Heath did that, and so did Jared Leto. They had journals where they wrote as the Joker. I was like, that is fucking, like, they put that in there, and it was a really interesting thing. Like, she flipping through and she saw some fucked up shit in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where if she was actually paying attention, that bitch should have been like, defend this. What?
Well, no, it's not her. It was the system that was stopping her from being able to do something, and that's where I feel like it. She didn't fail him. Is the system failed him?
Right.
I think it's a system.
And it's not a good. It wasn't a good system.
I have a different theory entirely, but it involves the ending.
He was a bad person just in general, and I thought it was really interesting. Whenever he fired his gun, it was really loud and it was jarring. Mm, yeah. And I really enjoyed that punctuation of the violence being that
violent,
that weird violent jarring gunfire.
Yeah,
and it was almost that way throughout, I think, the entire film. Every time he fired the gun,
there was a time when he killed the three young entrepreneurs, whatever they were,
his first killings.
It was just as, like, bang, bang. It was very, very violent.
Yeah. No, and I liked that it was that way. It was one of those, like, when you're talking about the score, I'm like, that was one thing with the sound where I was like, why am I so unsettled by this? I've seen gunfire
There's
in
so
movies.
So much unsettling parts in this movie. So much. Without just skipping to the end. And these are just some of the things we like. I feel like we're going to rain praise on this, so I'll go ahead and get some of the negatives that you might not have liked up front, not towards the end. We'll get to the end.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's the thing. Like, I think in general, like kind of I said earlier, like, if you had asked me halfway through this if I was enjoying this, I mean, and at the same time, like, I realized the movie was meant to be unsettling in so many ways, but I don't know. I found a lot of it off-putting and not necessarily in a good way early on.
I felt the same way.
Yeah.
I'll half agree with you and say that it needed a little bit better, not better editing, but a little, it could have been trimmed a little bit.
Sure. And at the same time, like, and by all means, I'm definitely in the camp that, like, thinks that Joaquin Phoenix did an incredible job with what he was given. I'm not entirely satisfied with how they wrote this Joker. Because for one thing, you know, obviously people are drawing comparisons between, especially with Heath Ledger's Joker, because he was such a recent beloved incarnation. Mm-hmm. I think most people are just forgetting about Jared Leto. But at the same time...
I want to share this before you get further into this. Sure. Personally, in the first 20 minutes of the movie, I had to tell myself, like, close my eyes and let myself know that, like, this is a different Joker.
Sure.
This isn't going to be, like, what you know all the way or what you may think you know. Let it go and just watch what they do with it.
I feel you.
And after I did that, I entirely enjoyed what I was watching.
Yeah, no, and I feel you. But at the same time, just as a nitpicky Batman fan, there's a part of me that really one of the things I really appreciated so much about Ledger's incarnation, as well as many other incarnations of the Joker, is his extreme intelligence. Like, I think that's a lot of what sets him apart. Like, if he didn't have that kind of intelligence that always puts him one step ahead of Batman, he's just another crazy person.
So
I didn't feel that as much with this Joker.
So that's a modern take on Joker. A lot of other Jokers were just, he was crazy.
He's crazy, right?
So it wasn't until like possibly the Killing Joke that he became like a criminal mastermind,
right?
Where we're more used to nowadays. So I still think this is an entirely valid version of the Joker.
Oh, I don't think he's invalid as the Joker. I like the more intelligent Joker as well.
Because then otherwise,
we've only had one intelligent Joker on screen.
Sure, but at the same time, like, what's stopping Batman from being able to stop the Joker?
It isn't hard to figure out that he was the guy that killed these people.
Sure.
I mean, it only took the detectives that long to do it because they, had a hard time getting a hold of him.
So I see people are bringing that up, but like, a lot of, and this is a common thing, like in the slums, like detectives aren't that concerned with doing shit.
Yeah.
And the only reason they got this far is because he became high profile.
Yes, I get that. I understand that completely. But even still, like, that's why I'm like, this had to take place at a time further back.
Right.
In time.
No phones, no computers, shit like that.
Because just surveillance, just in general. There would have been surveillance at the metro station and they would have caught him. Super quick.
I almost have a feeling like that was part of a relief for the for the writing of this movie to set it back then, because then you don't, there's so many things that technology would sort of, throw a wrench into.
I think you guys are getting hung up about that. I think a good writer could write past all of that. That's not a problem.
I hope so.
Sure.
I'm 100% sure.
But nevertheless, another reason why I think I like the dated setting of this movie. So
it fit perfectly.
Yeah.
I will go back and let's see. He had mental problems. Really, no one. He was just one of those people that fell through the cracks. Something other people had problems with, and I was like, I thought I kind of enjoyed it because you don't know, is he or is he not Bruce Wayne's kid or
yes,
yeah,
what's his name?
Fuck.
Thomas Wayne's kid.
Thank you. Because we don't actually know towards the end of the movie, we see him hold up a picture of his mom, and there's a writing on the back that says "I love your smile, T.W."
She could have written that.
Sure. So someone who had seen the movie twice, we could go back and see her letter written to Thomas Wayne, and it wasn't in the same handwriting.
Well, she could have had two different handwritings.
But let's assume the filmmaker is smart enough to like realize that he's not going to mind fuck like that and put these two pieces of evidence in front of you for you to figure that out. He's not going to be like,
I don't know. I feel like this movie went back and forth on that.
Yeah, I would say for everything. Even more a question mark, because I don't even think the whole movie happened.
Oh, I think it happened.
It could well be. Yeah,
I'm almost in the same place as you there.
No, there's a lot of indications that the whole thing is fabricated.
Because I read that.
We know he's delusional, and they show us that at the very beginning when he's watching the late night show with his mother, and all of a sudden he's in the crowd and he calls him up and you're my perfect son, and you're like, oh, this guy's got fucking daddy issues.
Right.
This guy's fucking delusional. But
I like that interpretation.
This is setting the stage for
film. You said it perfectly. It's an interpretation because the filmmaker very poignantly shows you all the delusions. He doesn't like, is it? He shows you like, this was fake, this was fake. He makes it a point to show you the things he was going crazy. So I don't think he's going to mind fuck you and show you the only specific delusions.
Well, plus at the same time, as a piece of art, I think it's interesting to like, it's up to the viewer's interpretation on some level.
That's why I said interpretation.
How much of it might be real or
I think that's what he originally intended it for, is to be up for this interpretation. Like, the way you want it to end is how it's going to end.
Yeah.
And yeah, personally, I want it to end like that. Like, this is not the Joker. This is not the incarnation of the Joker we see in other films and whatnot. I feel like I heard this theory from someone else, but this is the theory kind of like I'm liking the best, is that this is the person who started the story of the Joker. He passed the story on and kept talking about it. And eventually the real Joker, who does take on that persona we see in the Batman comics or whatnot, takes the story and makes it his own.
Yeah.
Possible.
And I've
read
that.
I know we've talked about it on previous Geek Pops talking.
I don't like that much either.
Because it cheapens it with that Joker's actual origin in that he was just a knockoff.
No, not at all. He's that to him, that is reality, though. That's what I'm saying.
And that, and that's at the same time, like, there's nothing saying that you can't take that interpretation. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things I liked about, like, and we've talked about on previous Geek Pops when we were talking about the trailers for this movie that was, and it was as it was coming out. And I remember, like, I've lamented before about the nature of them just doing a Joker origin story, because one of the things I love about a lot of Joker stories is that, like, he doesn't have a defined origin. Like, one of the things I most appreciate about The Dark Knight is that they tell three different origin stories that all contradict, and nobody knows his name. It doesn't even matter.
I think
matter
he just really liked
you know?
The Dark Knight version more than anything.
Sure, but at the same time,
because they did it with the other Batman.
But they've done
Michael
so
Keaton.
Many. They've done so many like Joker origin takes. You know, like and in the comics, I know like for a long time people were pointing at the Killing Joke as some sort of definitive origin. But even that has always been like the comics have told so many different stories. Yeah. And I like the idea
well, the
that
Killing Joke
all
wasn't
of them
even,
are in a weird way canon.
The Killing Joke wasn't even a canon Batman story. It was like a one-off.
Yeah. But they used it in canon stuff.
But in the same way parts that it, you know DC does their Elseworlds stories, like you can, in a weird way, you can consider it all part of canon.
That's what
that,
That's what I feel like this movie is, and that's why I don't know. Like this isn't like this isn't the Affleck's Joker.
Sure.
This is a completely different take on it.
Yeah.
As long as I think, and this is just me as a hardcore comic book fan, as long as you know that, like, you're going to enjoy the fuck out of this movie.
Sure.
I did at the end.
Really
after
enjoyed
I
this
the fuck
movie
down.
Once he became the Joker. And
there
I was like,
so much shit in there.
This
like,
is
ugh.
It. This is what I wanted. This is what I needed. I don't need his backstory. What? I don't really want his backstory.
I thought
well,
that's
once
too,
he finally. Like, no,
in the
no,
end,
I still,
we don't really know his backstory.
And,
that's what I argue.
And not just him becoming the Joker, but what finally turned me on to this movie, like what maybe like in the theater going like, okay, now I'm on board with this, was all the rug pulls. And this movie has at the very least like I'm counting like three plot twists. One, when you think that he's Thomas Wayne's son, which I remember thinking like, whoa, okay, that's an interesting, and
I
was on board with the Elseworld idea of this.
Did like, you laugh when he went to Wayne Manor at all, when Bruce came down the pole? Like, no one else laughed in the theater except me.
No, I mean,
I didn't think about it until you just now mentioned that. Like, yeah,
Bruce
he came
down
the
bat pole.
Yeah.
The pole? Which part are you talking
about? When Bruce was outside of Wayne Manor and, like, the little plaything, and
Bruce
then they,
sees him, he comes
they
down
specifically
the
have him go down a pole.
Oh, yeah, I never really thought about that. Well, now I'm kind of laughing at it. But yeah, so there's that rug pull. There's a rug pull of the fact that he's not Thomas Wayne's son, and, you know, the revelation about his mother. And then the big one for me that really, like, really made me go, okay, now I'm on board with this movie, is when you realize his relationship with his neighbor was imagined.
Oh, I knew that.
I knew that right away.
Yeah.
I maybe it's because I'm a woman, but
no.
There is no
well,
no
the scene
way.
Where
well,
she came up to like, were you following me? And like,
yeah.
She's like,
yeah.
Cool.
Well, that
like,
and
that
she was
like,
Arthur. Like, there was no questioning of his name. She knew his name exactly. And I'm like, she saw him in the elevator.
Right.
There's no way she knows his name.
I didn't think that, but I just, it didn't.
There's
none of
no
it felt.
Way. But then in that whole thing, I saw you following me. I liked it.
Well, but she's a neighbor.
No,
I figured
woman.
That maybe that she already knew his name just
but
from
woman's
other.
But he had no
that.
Ticks when he was around her. He was always like, just
it,
kind
it was
of,
perfect
yeah.
whenever she was
so
there.
It
too.
Seemed right.
We,
even
we
when
even
he.
We even see it firsthand during the comedy, when he was doing the stand up comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone was laughing at him when she was there. But when he saw it on the TV, nobody was laughing.
Yeah.
Obviously,
yeah.
Well, no, it, okay. no one. Well, that and that scene switched too, because it was we were getting some not delusional part where he had the tic, and he was having a hard time telling the jokes, and then all of a sudden his brain flipped, and we couldn't hear the jokes anymore. Just everyone laughing, and she was there, and I'm like, this isn't real.
Okay.
He had some interesting
well, see,
I
didn't pick up on that, but at the same time,
but it was
I
good.
Mean, part, but that
and
was
then,
also
and
throwing
then
me
after
off early
him
on.
Go, and then because was it she did that? Did they go to the joke or to the comedy store, and then he killed the guys? Because right after he did his first kill.
Yeah.
He runs to her house.
Yes.
And she opens the door, and they like it's like
they just start making
up. And I'm like, that's not real.
Yeah.
That is not real.
Well,
this woman who just met this man is not going to do that.
You are smarter than I then, because I wasn't not. I mean,
and,
it was.
And no, it creeped a lot of people out.
Yeah,
and like,
it really bothered me because I'm like, I
was
not.
Because it wasn't right.
Well, for one thing, like just even going into this movie, I already knew before seeing this movie that Zazie Beetz was going to be playing something of a love interest.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, and
which didn't make sense to us,
And we got hints of that from the trailers and stuff like that. So I was already a little unsettled by that. For one thing, just because like they have a huge age difference and like, and I just didn't want
them to. Welcome to Hollywood.
And I didn't want them to do another, like, you know, like, I don't know if she, I was half anticipating that she would get fridged or there, or some situation.
Well, he kind of fridged himself.
Sure, sure. But at the same time, like, you know, there were all these things that should be like red flags.
That's what he made
and his
change.
I was there were little things like that that I'm just like, this movie, like, and I understand how it can be swept under, like, is just like the first half of the movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll call it. But, like, after you watch the movie, like, I understand so much more, like, why they did what they did before.
I like it better the more I talk and think about it, but it's like I wasn't really thinking about
this. He did so many little things that not only tip you off but give you insight. And I'm just like, I'm fucking shocked. Not shocked. Shocked. And it's, I don't know why, but Joaquin Phoenix is amazing. We always see him in shit and you're like, well, Joaquin Phoenix was good because he's always fucking polarizing.
Yeah. I honestly want to say this is his best role, in my opinion.
I was thinking that too. I'm like, this might be because I love.
This is me personally. I know I'm not going to have everyone agree with me.
I don't know if I'm 100% with you, but I'm considering that because my favorite one is Walk the Line, which I think
he's so good in Walk the Line. He's so good in Gladiator. He's so good in, like.
I think Gladiator is my
favorite.
He's
so good in Her. He's like, he's a great actor.
Have you seen that movie recently?
I didn't like Her.
No, Gladiator.
I love Gladiator, but I don't think his part particularly was with the thing that, like, oh, I must see it because of Joaquin Phoenix.
I mean, he's really sinking his teeth into a really, like,
hammy villain.
I saw
it a couple years ago,
and
it's
like,
very obviously, like, one of his first acting gigs. Like, you could tell, I don't know. Anyway.
Oh, one of his first acting gigs is Superboy.
Okay. I don't know if you've seen the cut, but they had I saw it on Facebook. They had him as Superboy and then him as the
Joker.
And it was like, you live long. It was the Harvey Dent line is, you live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
Oh, yeah. But I thought my point just being like, he's been acting since he was a boy. You know,
he was really good in this. Yeah. And I'm honest, I just considered that because he did so many minor things by himself. That's just like half this movie is him.
It's just him by himself in his head.
I thought there was a really interesting, and I don't know.
Well, I should have picked up on, like, especially the big foreshadowing of his imagining the scene with Murray, you know, like, the, you know, the him in the audience and hugging him. And
that's why that sets the precedence for the rest of the movie. Yeah. So you understand to expect things like that. Yeah. That's why maybe the Zazie.
That's why I didn't feel like that one was. No, it wasn't stupid.
It wasn't stupid.
Well, it's just the rest of that wasn't like, obviously, whereas that scene was very clearly portrayed as like he is imagining that.
Yeah.
Everything else is edited in as if it's just happening. And instead of picking up on some of this may not be real, I was just sitting there going like, okay, I don't like that.
Yeah,
I don't like that.
He doesn't have.
I think you were meant to feel like that.
Sure. Yeah, but it's like he didn't have the tics. Everything went swimmingly, and it was like as soon as you pick up on that.
Yeah.
That is the delusion.
I thought it was interesting too. His laugh. There was a scene on the bus when he did the control and then give Leia the card. I thought that was like that sold like that nervous laugh to me.
Yeah.
Where it didn't make you like come on. I also and I'm trying to. I know I'm cutting people.
It's okay.
But I even like that explanation for his.
I also
laugh
like his run. Yeah. I don't know if you guys picked up on this, but he
run
always
runs
like he has clown shoes on.
Yes.
Throughout the whole movie.
Yeah.
Even when he didn't have them on, he still has that like waddly kind of like goofy walk, and I think it's because he's
so
just So I thought like Jesus Christ, like that is little details like that are making like they're making a mountain of this character.
Sure.
So by the end, when we get towards where he's wearing the makeup and stuff, really, really good.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I think you buy the turn of the city where these neglected people are like, fuck yeah, fuck these three rich assholes.
Yeah,
that,
where he inspires them because he thinks it's like actually a killing that was worth doing, or you know, not knowing that it's because they were assaulting him and like it wasn't like a political statement, but people took it as it.
Well, he says that through the whole movie. He's like, I don't care about that.
Yeah,
but he enjoys the notoriety, the attention that he has worth at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and
it's what he's looking for as a comedian and obviously failing at
the
because
acceptance.
He's not funny. You know?
Yeah. I disagree. I thought some of the jokes with the way he gave him
right.
And I guess it's because knowing that he's a crazy character, we're really, really good.
But I did
like,
at least
very
like,
sly.
I really like that moment with his mother, where she's just very blunt with him. It's like, aren't comedians supposed to be funny? And it's like, well, she's kind of.
I don't remember her name. She was amazing.
Yeah.
Let me see.
Penny.
No. Her, the actress.
Oh, the actress's name.
Yeah. All I know that you remember her from How I Met Your Mother. That's about it.
That's right. She was in there in American Horror Story. I think she only has one eye, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. Like in real life.
Oh.
Oh, wow. I did not know that.
Yeah, because there was another movie that she was in, and she had a glass eye on them. Anyway, that's not even
important.
Sure.
But, you know, you get by the time you get to some of the build-up of the movie where he's wearing his makeup, and he's made peace, not taking his medication. Mm-hmm. He's found out the truth about his past. All of it's very liberating in his own mind because he's like, I'm free. I know who I am, kind of. I know what I am. I know what people like, what I do.
He's a blank slate at that point.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, that's the moment that he had no identity anymore. And he just needed to fill it with his own identity.
I thought his I thought him slipping into the movie theater was really kind of neat. He puts the bellhop.
It's the usher.
Yeah. In his interaction with Thomas Wayne, where you see Thomas Wayne is who he is.
Yeah, that was really interesting. Given that, I mean, I'm not sure if I was completely on board with that interpretation, but I found that really interesting. That showing Thomas Wayne as a villain, and not strictly as a villain, but why people would see him as it.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
I mean, I thought that was a really good interaction. Like, yes, yeah. Bruce loved this man that he didn't know.
Yeah.
But he was a real person.
Yeah.
Obviously, he saw some flicker of knowledge under Penny, and I still like that we don't know if Penny and him actually had something or not. And I'm rushing this along towards the end because we got to get there. Mm-hmm. Most of the movie made me sick. The anticipation of the final scene was stomach turning. I don't know if it's been bothering me for a couple days or not, but
the final scene or the climactic scene?
Okay,
what scene are you talking about?
The climax of, well, not even the climax, but the end portion of the movie where he's on the show.
Yes,
and you know, you think the whole time he's gonna possibly going to kill himself because we don't know.
That's
this
what
Joker.
We remind.
Right. Yeah. Because he kept on reading that line that said like, "Oh, in my death, will it find?"
Well,
yeah.
Not just that, he was practicing it.
He rehearses it on the couch. Yeah, he's shooting himself. Yeah, so you think that that's his plan?
Because
yeah.
we don't know this version of the Joker. Yeah. This very well could be Todd Phillips' thing. Like, and that would be a fucking horrible joke to play on everyone. Sure. To kill himself. So who knows? but the lead up to you know, Robert De Niro actually having the back and forth with him, him coming out and kissing the Dr. Ruth character, which is straight out of the comic book.
Yeah.
And then we see the final scene where he finally realizes he's not, why would he kill himself? He's going to, like, this person who's oppressed him, he's the one that is should be the next focal point of his wrath.
Yeah.
And when he shoots him, it's so visceral in jaw-dropping, like, it's right there in front of you. It's not like Hollywood. He shoots him and his head goes back and there's blood, a hole in his head. There's not like some big, like, he flies back 50 feet or a graphic view. It's just
dead.
What it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he just sits
very
there.
Very realistic portrayal. Yeah.
And almost enjoys, like, everyone, like, flipping out. And he's just sitting there and then he finally gets up, shoots him.
I don't like a lot of the setup to get to there because I think, like, I remember early on kind of thinking, especially when they were already putting his clips on TV and mocking him,
making
stuff like
fun
that.
Of him, yeah.
I was like, I mean, especially considering his comedy career wasn't exactly taken off through that movie.
Right.
And, you know, there was a part of me going, like, I know eventually he's going to have to be on that show, you know, at least from seeing the trailers and seeing that, you know, the scene, you know, we've all seen, I think, the scene where he's talked to Murray and his producer saying, oh, can you call me, you know, take me out and call me the Joker. But then all the circumstances that lead to that, I found surprisingly, you know, really kind of well crafted, because down to the point where, like, he's wearing that makeup and they're in his dressing room going, like, what the hell, like, is this what's a political statement? And I could believe Murray kind of going, like,
okay.
no, I think he's just, you know, especially because of he kept playing that clip of him and his talking about his mother saying, I'm just trying to bring smiles to the, like, like, I think I could
this
believe that
shtick.
The talk show host was like,
sure,
he's just trying to take back clowns.
And can we say, like, I thought Mark Maron was actually had a role in this movie, not like the 10
I thought
scenes
so too.
He was in.
Yeah. Especially anyway, how much he's been talking about it.
We got to keep moving.
Yeah.
40 minutes of the movie, he shoots Robert De Niro, and he doesn't even really try to not get caught. They catch him.
No.
And they do an homage to freaking Dark Knight where he's enjoying chaos that the Joker vigilante or the clown vigilante has caused. Like, it is crazy in the streets.
Yeah.
He's just sitting there
looking
in
out
the cop
of
car.
The cop car.
Yeah. Just like, he's like, oh, look what I've
done. Exactly.
You know.
Like, he's almost at peace finally.
Yeah.
You know, just
he's caused this upheaval.
Himself. Yeah. I mean, he even says at one point, he likes the violence.
Yeah.
And once he accepted that he liked it, like, that was
he's free.
He's free.
Well, and also, well, I don't mean to backtrack again, but like, I also really like that conversation he has with Murray on the air, especially once they realize he's talking about the murder.
That
and
whole anticipation,
yeah,
up to that point, like I said, it's just very gut wrenching because you know that there's something horrible coming.
Yeah, and you could believe that, you know, in a different scenario on a different show, somebody would just cut it off the air. Like, this is, you know, we're going to call the cops.
Well,
instead, they kept trying to, and he kept saying no, keep it going.
Yeah, and instead he was just like, wait a minute, are you really being serious about this? Now let's unpack this, because that's really serious what you're
claiming.
Well, because
at the same time, I think anyone that did that would be like, David, keep going. The ratings are crazy.
Sure.
But he shoots him. He gets caught. He goes out. And then you think that might be the end of the story. But he, some minions. Yeah. No. Well, no. Some minions apparently know he was being taken, and they rescue him. I think it was on purpose.
It was.
Yeah.
They pull him out of the car and put him on the hood. And in this meantime, which I didn't see coming, and I know Lisa had an eye roll, but I thought it was...
My eyes rolled so hard, I think they fell out of my head.
I think
head.
They fitted in pretty well for what this movie was. They had Mask of the...
of Gay Zorro? Mask of Zorro?
Gay Blades.
Zorro the Gay Blades.
There we go.
I couldn't think of it. And the parents coming out, and it actually makes sense why they would go down this bullshit dark alley.
Yeah.
And not into a car or not to somewhere safe. They're trying to get away from the madness.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting seeing that version of, like, because essentially their version of Joe Chill, if it even is Joe Chill, is somebody who is inspired by the Joker.
This is that's the thing. Yeah. Like the dark and the light, the chaos and the order are intertwined, and they gave it to them like that. And like, this is what caused the recoil for your anarchy, was the protector.
Yeah.
And we've seen it 100 times before, but it was still, in my mind, I thought it was very, very poignant.
I think it was an interesting reversal of
a thing, because it's not only like, it's the birth of Joker at that one moment where he's putting on the blood lips, but it's also the birth of Batman.
Man, yes. Yeah. That's exactly how I saw him. Like, this is like two forces here.
Yeah, I thought it was an interesting reversal of what we've seen in so many other Batman stories where you know, like, it's even, you know, right down to the last scene of The Batman Begins where he talks about escalation. You know, that's something that it's touched upon in Hush, for example, where Gordon, you know, where Batman in so many other stories won't face the truth, or won't face the likely truth that he's a catalyst for a lot of what's happening to Gotham. Yeah. He's bringing out the crazies. Yeah. He's inspiring them. This is an incarnation that flips out on his head and says, right down to the, like, Thomas Wayne getting murdered was inspired by the Joker. You know?
I thought it was a brilliant interpretation, and I loved it. And the Joker rises up to his people, so to speak, a face full of clowns, and he takes his own blood and puts his smile on, and we get, I think, the version of the Joker that they're trying to present to us.
That's I saw his birth sooner, but his acceptance of it was then.
Well, yeah.
Then we know he gets caught, and he goes to
Arkham.
He goes to Arkham. And there's a scene at the end where he's talking to someone, and he's playing shit in his head, and he's like, "What's so funny?" And you wouldn't get the joke. And then the next scene we see is like some music playing of I think it's Sinatra, and the Joker walking down the hall, and then you see his footprints are fucking bloody.
Right. I love that last shot.
It's so good. And I didn't see this one part, and it might not have happened, but he goes down one hallway, and we see an orderly chase him.
Yeah.
And then did they change direction? Orderly start running, and Joker chase him. Is that what happened?
I'm not sure
anymore. I think it was still Joker.
Okay, because I was so occupied with the number on the wall that I was trying to read the phone number. Like, is this a secret thing?
Yeah, I saw that too. But
and my wife was like, "No, I think he was chasing the orderly the other way." Yeah. That's what made it funny. I'm like, I didn't catch that.
It could have been that I didn't catch who ran down
I
first.
It was funny because I kept him once and then you see him
again. It could work either way, to be honest.
Because I was trying to see at that point, because he had the bloody footprints, or the red footprints. I'm not even going to say blood, the red footprints, that I was interested to see if there was any blood elsewhere on him.
It was on his pants.
A little bit on his pants. I didn't see the bottom of the pants. Right. Yeah. I'm sure he killed the shrink.
On his right foot,
That's what I was, and then I was like, is this just another fucking delusion?
Sure. That was a lot of review. I think, even though Brian said he had nitpick with, it sounds like you enjoyed most of this. I'm going to say
just in general, there's a lot of this movie that's like, and then I realize intentionally unpleasant. I can't fully recommend this movie to, because I don't think it's for everyone. I think a lot
it's
of people
not for everyone. But if you were a fan of Joker the crime like genre movies from, you know, I'm going to say the 80s because that's when I go see this movie. You'll do yourself a favor. It's pretty good. Lisa, real quick, which thoughts?
I thought it left a bad taste in my mouth when I first saw it, but more talking and thinking about it, I'm liking it better.
Yeah. And I'm happy to report to plenty of people who are worried about this movie. I don't believe that it sympathizes with him. I think the movie is very clear about who he is and the terrible things he's doing.
Right.
And it's a very interesting take on it.
Enrique.
This is a movie that I feel like I'm going to have multiple watchings and enjoy it more and more.
I think so, too.
I think it will get better with time once you realize it's okay to not like this character. Yes, he's doing bad things. You are seeing the birth of a villain.
Yes.
And like with Breaking Bad and stuff, you don't have that good presence to help make you feel better about it.
This is a different Joker. So if you have different Jokers that you like, just keep in mind this is a different one. All right, let's move on. That was the end.
But where are the clowns? Send in the clowns. Don't bother. They're here.
And next part.
Enrique.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that was the end of the show for some odd reason.
We like 45 minutes right there, right?
Oh, wow. Okay, well.
I know. That's what I'm like.
I mean, we're like 48.
So let's jump through these stories.
Okay. I honestly thought we were done with the show for some odd reason.
No, we got to give the people
a couple more stories.
Give the rest of the show. Okay. So we had a trailer for Rick and Morty for season 4.
Sweet.
As well as the release date, I believe. Yeah.
Yes.
First of all,
10th.
I always slay Queen.
Exactly. The first. Yeah. Hopefully, just the first half, or maybe even.
It's the first half because if you think about it, it's coming out.
It says all the season. No, well, doesn't matter.
Well it's no, they said that last time too, and they only showed the first half too.
It's only the first half of the season because basically it's going to go right till just before Christmas.
Doesn't matter. We saw the preview for some of it.
It looks fucking.
Was it Chachi? Fuck Chachi.
Fuck Chachi. Yeah.
there's so many good parts.
The cat guy.
Goat, rip off Doctor Strange.
That was my favorite.
Spine,
part.
Give me morphine.
Right.
There were a lot of really funny parts.
I like this magic shit.
My favorite line was like. She's like, are you going to slay that dragon? He's like, first of all, I always slay queen.
Yeah.
It's nice to see Mr. Meeseeks back.
Yeah.
However they're incorporating him.
Yeah.
Mr. Poopy Butthole.
Yeah, yeah, Mr. Poopy Butthole. Kung Fu.
Wait, he has his little cane and everything.
Yeah.
I mean, even if we're just getting 5 episodes, it's so welcome to see.
No, we'll get
back.
More.
Yeah, we will eventually.
Fuck Chachi.
Yeah.
You're the dark.
But yeah, it's a little bittersweet because it's like only 5 episodes, and you're like, wait, what? Uh-huh.
Well, at least we're getting five episodes.
It's 5
this
before
year.
Christmas. Yeah.
You know, quality over quantity, right? But at the same time,
no, I want them all.
I want them both, man. Yeah, like they gave them a shit ton of money.
They're signed in for like 60 or 70 episodes or something like that. Crazy.
Yeah. I think Justin Roiland has even said a lot of what's made it really slow is because they're constantly second guessing themselves now. I think the writing process is what's taking so long.
Well, it was that, and there was a lot of contract negotiations going on too.
Oh, sure.
For a part of it.
Yeah.
Take this off in 10 minutes. Not 12, or I'm going to have to hunt down what you become. Sure. Damn it, Morty. Oh, my God. This is really fun. I'm sorry about that.
It's a good trailer. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Go watch
it. It's a good taste without really revealing too much. You know. And
I don't know. It revealed a lot. I feel like it reveals a lot, but it can't be.
The Gears guy's back.
But I'm assuming he's not. I mean, he's like mostly robot, right? Maybe he'll live.
Bam.
We'll see.
He also turned Rick in, so we can't. We can't forget that. All right, Rick and Morty season 4.
It's coming.
It's coming, Lisa.
Yeah. I got a bummer of a story here. So apparently, PlayStation and Facebook broke up. And you can no longer share your like clips or screenshots directly from your PlayStation.
How am I
going to
share my sweet, sweet kills?
You're going to have to go to like YouTube first and then go like 3 years around a corner.
I've never directly done it. I've always just taken them on a flash drive and then put them onto my computer.
Fucking
what?
Yeah.
Motherfucker.
You just hit a button and it goes.
Sure, I guess I'm much more granular with my, like, because I'll post it on Instagram and I'll edit it a certain way.
Oh,
like,
yeah, I don't post it
on
Instagram.
Like that clip that I posted of, like, Battlefront 2 where, like, where we were all stacking.
I
edited that first and then put it on Instagram.
Yeah,
so
you can edit on
that.
Your PlayStation.
I thought you can only trim it.
What else
do
you need?
That's editing.
But then can you put the clips together?
I don't know.
I haven't done that because I've never needed to.
Okay, I was just sitting on QuickTime on my laptop. It didn't take that much longer.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Enrique, because I think you know more about this than us. The only way to do it now, though, is to do it the old man way, which is to save it to a thumb drive and then edit it on something else and then upload it.
That's an old man way.
Yes, that's the old man way.
Well, I'm still okay with YouTube,
it's just Facebook
YouTube.
that they broke up with.
I've never done it to YouTube.
But
I've done it to YouTube.
I've done it, yeah. But it was
also you streamed to YouTube for
yeah.
us, right?
There's also they think it might be related to the Cambridge Analytica where
no, they said it was because for some reason PlayStation, Microsoft, you know, that's all that matters right now. Yeah. And some other people had some kind of unusual
access
to their data on Facebook, and Facebook was like,
lest we forget, Sony,
like a loophole or something.
Sony had that major hack.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was before that.
Sure.
That was way before that.
But from what I understand,
I was a part of it. It's okay now. They monitor my credit. It's great.
Although there was another hack. I don't know if you guys used to play
Words. I'm sure they still monitor my credit.
Words of, with friends and
Well, it's been a while since I played that one.
Although in reading the story, like
I've been hacked so many times, I don't care anymore.
In reading the story, though, I thought they indicated that Facebook has made this pretty clear, like a while back, that they were going to cut off support for with you know their partnership with Sony. And
I don't remember that.
I don't remember that, but
they might have said that in the article.
Okay, I think so.
They cut it. I didn't hear a date. Or anything. It was just all of a sudden it was gone, and I cried. And
I know
said,
some people
Chris,
like
Chris, why?
Because it ended yesterday.
Yeah.
And
no,
I went
seven.
It,
yeah, ish.
2 days ago. A couple days ago. I went online on my PlayStation and I checked people's pictures, and they still have their Facebook pictures on some of them.
Not mine, because I accidentally disconnected it and then never reconnected
Connected mine, but I saw Enrique. You still have yours on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have mine.
And you.
Mine pulled from my Facebook.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I'm assuming now that's just saved on Sony's network.
I guess.
Maybe.
I mean, I still have that picture on there. And it's also not my Facebook profile photo anymore, so I don't know. But whatever. Yeah. I mean, it's obviously they were connected before.
And now they're
not.
Now I'm sad because I can't share so easily.
It's so easy to do.
Yeah, I didn't know
just
it was already taking effect.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So, it had to be yesterday because I when I turned on my system, it was like the new system update is, and that was in the system update. Mm. It took it off. So, okay, let's move on, though.
You probably updated the system, Brian. Damn it. This is your fault now.
It should be an automatic. But Enrique.
Well, we saw a new trailer from San Diego Comic-Con for Picard.
From
New York Comic-Con.
Oh,
we're not
what'd
in San
I say,
Diego
San
anymore.
Diego. I meant New York. I meant New York. I don't know why it's at San Diego. Because
it's the big one.
Well, then we got one at San Diego, which the big reveal for that one was Data at the end of it. But
yeah.
New York
one
got...
We got a little bit more Data. This one
Quite
oily. It starts off with him, yeah.
Yeah, he does not look like Data that
no,
I remember.
No, this one looks worse for some odd reason.
Well, he's fucking, what is he?
Obviously, Brent Spiner has aged.
I mean, it'd be like having your cell phone for like 20 years. Yeah. You know, you gotta like, you know.
All things considered,
he just looks a little oily. Like,
keep it updated.
Well, he's always looked kind of oily, but he looked bigger and the wig didn't look as good. And
Brent Spiner's gained a little bit of weight, but I think
it was like 20 years ago. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. But if they were going to go that route, they should have at least tried to, you know, digital little up or something.
I assume they already did a little.
I think
maybe they didn't pay for that.
Yeah.
I think it's all makeup. But it doesn't matter because we see Data at the beginning. Huh. And we find out Picard's dog's name is Number One.
Number One, yeah.
Which I thought
is Number One Number Two now?
He probably will. We see Seven of Nine. Apparently she's some kind of a, I don't know, fixer, we'll call her, because she helps people that need
that
help. She's a fucking superhero.
Sweet.
And we see come to the other characters. We see that it looks like there's more Datas or artificial humans.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not the exact model, but very similar.
Yeah, they stamp those motherfuckers on the head.
Yeah.
Fucked up.
So you know which one's which?
I guess.
Well,
because he was made in the...
That around this time that they would have done
mass-produced Data?
Yeah, well, because they, I mean...
Sorry.
He was made in the image of that doctor, right? Yeah, I forget his name.
Dr. Nguyen Singh.
Yeah. Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's
in which he was the first... Data was, one of the first ones of his kind, of being an android that actually is sentient, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
It was before Lore and...
Lol.
And then, his daughter.
His daughter.
Lol.
Lol.
Is it? It's
like L-A-L, right? Lol.
Lol, yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, you're saying...
Oh,
like,
I thought you were just joking right
there. No,
it's Data made a daughter, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who gets terrible at catching.
I hope Spot's still around. The big reveal, of course, is not the rest. Oh, there was a funny part. I was like, God damn it. All I see is the convention center.
Yeah, we see a lot more of the Anaheim Convention Center.
Yeah, the Anaheim.
Once you see it, he can't
unsee No, and they actually film inside, and he's going up the escalators. I'm like, dude.
I know. They had that escalator shot, I think, was new, and I was just like, I know exactly where that is.
I'm like, couldn't you put a fucking a LED light on it to make it look futuristic?
I mean, but to be fair, Star Trek's full of location shoots like that.
I know, but
I can only see the Getty now.
Yeah, exactly. When you watch Into Darkness, and Star Trek Into Darkness is the big movie budget, and like it's totally just the Getty
it's
Museum,
the Getty.
And you know, and obviously, CSUN is in the
yeah,
you know, the
that
first
too.
One, so.
I don't remember the name of the building, but they've used it in tons of other stuff. The old Starfleet Academy,
and then not to mention
Biodome,
the Gorn Rocks from Vasquez Rocks.
Oh,
Vasquez
Rocks,
same
yes.
exact.
Yes.
Not just Vasquez Rocks, the
same
exact
yeah.
rock formation.
So I feel like
it's a very popular formation. It's been used several times throughout
several
Star
times
Trek.
In Star Trek.
I feel
yeah.
like they did on purpose.
Yeah,
obviously.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think they were trying to dress
want,
it like it was something
we
new.
We can visit it.
Exactly.
It's not far from my house.
It's great.
I've been there a couple times, yeah. I went orienteering there, actually.
Orienteering?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's where they give you a map and you have to find GPS points on a course.
Okay.
I figured.
The big reveal, of course, of this, I don't know, big reveal, but the funnest part that made me tear up a little bit was we hear a kid going, "Dad," and he's like, "What?" Stop yelling. There's someone here. Jean-Luc Picard's here.
Get off the
shed. Yeah. And we turn around. It turns around to see Will.
Will
it's Riker.
Yep. Jonathan Frakes.
We see him, and then we see a quick
Marina
shot
Sirtis.
Of Deanna Troi hugging Picard, and then
they had a kid together.
Yeah.
Assuming that kid is theirs.
They adopted.
Who would it be?
They adopted, or maybe one of them had it from a different marriage, and they
came
back together.
And it was with the dad or the mom. And
I'm sure
now
it's
that
Will
they're not
Deanna's.
In space traveling around anymore, they can now have full custody.
Yeah, I
guess don't understand
Will's
what's so hard about that.
I don't either. I guess Will gave up being a captain or whatever.
I'm sure it's Will and Deanna's. And I find it funny.
I'm sure it
like,
is too.
Like it's not some heartwarming super. It's a moment where the what? Like it's just dad getting pissed at his kid.
I thought it was also interesting. It looks pretty, I don't want to say identical, but very more reminiscent of the cabin that.
Yes, from Generations.
That Shatner
was
in.
I know.
Yeah.
I was like, is this the Nexus?
Yeah.
So I don't know if like maybe he bought.
What's he making? Is it an omelet?
I don't know if he made. No, he's washing the dishes, but I don't know if he's doing. Has Kirk's old cabin, which would be really, really cool.
Oh,
that'd be a cool
that's
pullback.
Right, because that was supposed to be Kirk's cabin from when he was. Before he went to Starfleet.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure, like, if he probably had in the family still.
Yeah, they could be. That's a nice little, original series callback.
Yeah,
that'd be cool.
Picard, check it out. All right, let's move on to Clerks 3. We have a little more information about it. Well, first of all, they're making
it's
a Clerks 3.
It's happening. Exactly.
Yeah. We didn't get to talk about it last week. We weren't here last week, but
finally happening.
Kevin Smith has made up with
Jeff Anderson.
Jeff Anderson, I call him Randall. The Randall character, the Randall.
Well, because everyone knows him as Randall.
Randall. Yeah.
I mean, what other movies has he? Has he ever done?
He's in one or two, but he's random.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
They're all okay with
he's random.
Anyway, he made up, so to speak, and they're making Clerks 3. He was the big hang-up last time.
Yeah.
And apparently the script has been rewritten, and it's going to revolve more around Kevin's heart attack, where I guess Randall has a heart attack.
I'm kind of glad it's been rewritten, if at least, because, he did that script reading of his original script for Clerks 3, and which was an interesting take, but it was such a left field of, such a serious, dark movie.
I didn't hear it.
Okay. Well, I
you tell me about after this.
Sure.
The new one is it's going to be Randall has a heart attack, and then he realizes that his whole life he doesn't have people close to him. He hasn't achieved anything. And he does an entire I don't want to say a turnaround of his character, but he wants to do more. And it's like the back end. He loves. He's worked in a movie store his whole life. He loves movies. So he and God damn, I can't think of his friend's name. His counterpart decided to make a movie.
Dante.
He convinces Dante, and they make Clerks.
Yeah.
So that's the back
it's
end way.
Meta.
And Kevin Smith this is the closest thing that'll ever be to my my autobiography. But that's what the back end of is going to be. He's going to have a hard time realizing that he loves movies, and they're going to make Clerks at the store.
Yeah, and just all around, I love this is how this sort of came to pass because basically it sounds like it just happened because they got into a room together and just made up and they're like, you know what? Let's do this.
Since Kevin's heart attack, he's realized, I think anyone who had that the brush of death, that life is fleeting.
Yeah, not to mention, I think on some level, it might have also helped that Kevin Smith is so open about a lot of his personal life and a lot of his even his grudges or I don't want to say there was a grudge that happened between them, but he doesn't hide that. He's an open book.
Yeah.
And he talked very openly at Comic-Con when he talked about when he told that great story about how he and Ben Affleck reconciled and how that's why Ben Affleck is in Jane Silent Bob reboot. Yeah. At the same exact panel, he also talked about how Clerks 3 isn't quite on the page yet because he and Jeff Anderson aren't totally cool right now. And he just put that out there, and I wonder maybe on some level maybe that's part of what convinced him to maybe I should talk to, because I'm sure Jeff Anderson heard
Kevin Smith doesn't shut up about it. Like, if you listen to Smodcast,
he talks about everything.
Anyway, Clerks 3, I can't wait. I love the Clerks movies. The second one, I kind of really enjoy too. There's a stupid musical number in there. And who doesn't love Rosario Dawson? She's amazing.
She's great.
Anyway, let's move on. Brian!
Yeah, so we also got a trailer, a full trailer for the first time, I feel like. Yeah, because that first one wasn't really a trailer.
It wasn't a full trailer.
For Kathy Yan's Birds of Prey and the oh my God, what is his title? And
the Emancipation of One Fabulous Harley Quinn.
Right. Which, I don't know about you guys, but I feel like it looks like a pretty great Harley Quinn movie.
I think it looks great, yeah.
But, you know, I'm just wondering if they're going to put any Birds of Prey in this Birds of Prey movie.
I mean, they're all the Birds of Prey.
They're all
literally
in there.
In the
they're in there, but they have, I mean, I just, I'm in the camp of plenty of people kind
of
going like,
of you guys, Harley Quinn.
Let's be honest, like, none of these Birds of Prey are the ones that we care about anyway. I mean, they have a version of Black Canary.
I like Huntress.
Do you really?
I like, yeah. Who doesn't like Huntress?
I could take her lever.
I guess, you know, like, it feels like, well, obviously Oracle, I feel like, is the big one that feels like she's missing, obviously, because she's not in this. But
Birds of Prey has become a generic thing, though, that they... Oh, I just noticed that wasn't Jared Leto's Joker. The Birds of Prey has kind of become this generic thing where they can interact different femme fatales into the DC universe and they'd be the Birds of Prey.
Sure.
That's the modern take on it.
I just feel like... and I understand Margot Robbie obviously has the biggest star power here, and obviously she's the big character being carried over from Suicide Squad. But at the same time, she is all over... Like, the vast majority of the dialogue in this trailer is her. Like, I'm hoping that's just marketing sake, and because this is still a Birds of Prey movie. The movie is called Birds of Prey. And
I don't give a shit about that. I hope it's more Harley.
Really?
Because I don't give a shit about the Birds of Prey, and I have a lot of their comics, too.
What?
I feel like they're using Harley as a selling point, and she's going to be the main focus because it's her emancipation.
There's so much good in this.
The Birds of Prey will be there, and from what it seems like, they are helping her emancipate, so they are a part of it as well, but it's Harley's story.
There's so much visual goodness in this, and then she gets her hyenas. God. By the way,
I just feel like the X-Men
headbutt is so brutal.
That was nice to see the hyenas, but at the same time, like I just feel like the X-Men had more lines in the Deadpool trailer than the Birds of Prey have in the Birds of Prey trailer.
I don't know, but
I'm hoping that's just a lot of marketing
I think it's mostly marketing. But they are probably going to play second fiddle to Harley Quinn,
as they should.
And I really enjoyed the end of the trailer where she's driving in a car and she's talking about something and some bad guys come up on her and she just casually hands the person sitting next to her some dynamite. And she's like, hold this for me. And then they toss it out the window and explodes, and it felt like such a cartoon in such an amazing, like, real life way that it was just like, I can't believe seeing these worlds collide.
That's part of my stickler, like my stick up my ass right now about Birds this because you just mentioned the person next to her, and that's Cassandra Cain. You know, it's like I just feel like it's a little too Harley focused.
Did we even get her name in this trailer?
No, we didn't, which is why it's like, you know.
So it's okay that I'm saying that. Harley didn't go.
She's Batgirl,
Cassandra. Could you please hold on to this stick of dynamite for me?
I know. I'm just saying, like, I think it looks great. I just feel like it looks very much like a Harley Quinn movie, and I want it to be more Birds of Prey, which is what it's called.
It's probably going to be 35% Birds of Prey, the rest Harley.
I want it to be at least 45.
Tough luck.
No.
Let's move
50,
on.
If that's the title of a damn movie.
Is that an L or is that that's a U? Go for it, Lisa.
All right. So we are getting a new Hunger Games book. It is going to take place 64 years before the Hunger Games as we knew it with Katniss. It's going to be taking part in the 10th Hunger Game. And that's
kind of it. It's only
coming
10
out.
Years.
Well, it'll be the...
Only 10 years into it.
That world, in the May 19th, 2020 is when it's going to release, and it's called The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes.
I love the books.
I really love the books,
I'm going to read the
shit out of this one.
I thought the books were the books were really, really good.
I've never heard that described that way.
Like, you say that, but it's like I almost read all these books in one sitting whenever I got them.
They were really entertaining.
They're short enough that you can almost do it, and they were just that entertaining.
I think only 300 pages a book.
Yeah, it's
except the one I bought.
Obviously, going 600? This far back.
Well,
at
I mean,
all
but that's because you bought the big yeah. text one.
That's how much I didn't care. I just needed to read the next book. I'm like, that's yeah. all you have? Fuck. Okay.
Yeah.
Give it to me.
I remember Chris got really mad at me because he's like, "Do you have the books?" And I was like, "No, I borrowed them." And he's yeah. like, "What do you mean?"
This bitch is like, "You gotta read the books.
You gotta read
to get
these
the
books,
movie.
But don't read. Don't."
So I typically I'll listen to you guys if like you give me some shit like that. Like, sure. All right, because you know. Anyway, I read the first book. I'm like, that was really good.
Yeah. Well, I'm almost more intrigued by this era of the story because I read the books too, but I wasn't that as entranced by them. But at the same time, I kind of want to see the early days of like, even though this isn't like right after the war and the uprising or anything, like mm-hmm. this is still pretty early in Pan Am's history. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm a little more intrigued by, you know, what we'll see. And there'll all be new characters unless, you know, President Snow is around. But
I think we talked about that last time.
Yeah. So.
He probably was because he's an old son of a bitch.
Yeah, he was 70 when they filmed the movie, right? So this is 64 years before, so he can.
So he can be.
He can yeah. be within yeah. the realm of 10. And yeah, still be plausible.
Well, I think he's something like 70 something in the story. So yeah.
in real life, but
oh sure, but I mean like Donald at least in the story, he'll be a boy, and he could be in the story. Who knows?
I don't know. 100 games.
I don't know. I fell in love with that sick ass world and wanted to know more. So
yeah, I don't know. I watched the first movie and was like, "This is garbage, you guys. What do you like about it?" And then I read the book and I was like, "Oh shit, I see. Okay, this is much better described as what mm-hmm. they did in the movie."
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Hunger Games new book. What was it called?
The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes.
Sounds almost like a
it feels like a Song George, of Ice and Fire.
Exactly. A George R. Martin book.
George R. Martin's like, really?
He's like, damn it, that was going to be the book.
All right.
He's writing more.
Maybe. All right. Pottermore shutting down. Well, they're reshuffling.
Rebranding?
Yeah. Yeah. Rebranding.
Just moving to a new site. Right?
They're redoing the whole thing. I don't know to what extent, but you know, with the exception of Brian, who hates Harry Potter, we all went there. We got our sorted officially. We got our wands officially. We got our Patronuses officially.
Will this mean we get to be resorted if we don't like our house?
I think if you sign up with new information, I think so. But sure. All your old information is saved.
Yeah, okay. they said like quite a bit of that's coming over. Right?
Yeah,
mine's probably.
But this isn't. I don't think this. I feel like this is the second time this happened because before it was Pottermore. I don't remember it being something else.
I mean, there might have been a Harry Potter site, but Pottermore was, as far as I know, the first incarnation of something like this. And their big draw is like, you can get sorted officially. Mm-hmm. And that was what was supposed to get, like, something hanging on your eyelash.
Well, because this wasn't the first time we've been sorted.
Like, you kept blinking, and it was just like,
hey, Chris, what's up?
Pottermore was like, it gave you all the official stuff. And I never used the other side of it, which was like, you could read the books and they're kind of interactive.
Yeah, I
never
didn't do that either. I was like, sort me, give me my wand, let's do all the fun
then
shit.
Then I went back, where's my Patronus? Then I was disappointed and then I never went back.
What was your Patronus?
I was an otter.
Why are you disappointed about an otter?
I don't know. I
he
felt like
something
I should have.
Cooler.
Like a river otter or a sea otter?
I mean, I think it was just an otter. Because
otters are kind of assholes. But sea otters are awesome.
I read it. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. It was fine. After I read about it, I'm like, yeah, I guess otters are fine. But I don't know. I figured.
Otters, they hold hands so they don't float away.
Obviously,
from
they don't know me personally. There was a series of like 10
well,
questions.
Well, apparently your questions didn't know you either.
Right. There was a series of probably 10 questions and I got otter. What did you get?
I want to say I had a dog.
I'm not sure if I did the Patronus quiz.
I can't remember.
I don't know. I thought I was hoping for either something A, bigger, or something like unique.
Bigger. A bear.
Yeah, I mean, not even a bear. Like,
blue
I don't know.
Whale.
Like
shark.
A shark would have been cool.
Brachiosaurus.
A fucking, a Tyrannosaurus. I don't know. Something like, I don't know. Or like even
are there
something.
Extinct creatures as Patronuses?
Like a giant dragonfly.
Are there,
like beetle?
I was about to say mythical, but in universe, they're probably
what?
Real.
I'm sure.
What?
As Patronuses.
There could be
like,
a unicorn.
Are there like, you know, centaurs or.
Centaurs are sentient creatures.
Yeah.
So I don't think like, centaurs could be one.
Like a griffin or something.
I'd imagine yes.
Yeah.
I don't remember anyone being one of those. Mm. But I don't see why they couldn't be. I mean, there were some I think as small as like sparrows or something.
Or like a tardigrade.
A what?
Tardigrade. They're like the water. They're microscopic.
I think that'd probably be pretty useless.
Amoeba.
Patronus. Like, I don't know, like, that's a microscopic thing against a Dementor. Diatom. I don't know what's it going to stop. Anyway, Pottermore is going away, but coming back is something else. Who cares? Who cares? Yeah. But yeah,
it'll be yeah, exactly. As much as like,
you know, I haven't been there in like 8 years.
I didn't see this as a sad thing. Is it's they're just moving. They're moving.
Well, it's because you hate Harry Potter, though, Brian. Let's move on, Brian.
What I do love is Marvel. So basically, you know, Picard wasn't the only huge trailer to drop out of New York Comic Con. We also got a new trailer for the new Square Enix Avengers game.
The laughable, I'd say, Avengers game we all made fun of.
Plenty of people were laughing at that first trailer.
The first trailer was pretty trash.
Yeah, this trailer. So this trailer finally reveals the main character that you are going to be playing, and it is none other than Kamala Khan as Ms. Marvel.
And it looks pretty cool.
It looks fucking awesome.
Like, they also released a video of gameplay of interviews with the actress playing her, with showing you just like what she can do. And
there
just,
was a lot. Yeah,
so good.
Which I would fail to paint an accurate picture of her powers, but just watch the video.
She embiggens and stretches.
But she doesn't exactly do like Mr. Fantastic. I don't know how to explain it. But this video does a good job of showing her powers.
Yeah.
And she's in the game, and they downplay the bargain basement Avengers, as I call them.
Yeah. But they establish her origin right there in that trailer. You know, she gets hit with the Terrigen Mists. And that trailer, I mean, I love that trailer. All the banter with Bruce Banner.
Yeah.
And like how she's sort of getting on his nerves.
Really good.
Yeah. That was great.
It was really good. Like, I bought them out of their outfits. Like, I guess Iron Man wasn't that bad, but when you looked at Thor and Captain America, they looked really like they went to the thrift store and picked out their outfits. Sure. I'm sorry. But this was a really good trailer.
Hockey pads.
Right. He was wearing hockey pads.
Yeah. But at the same time, like, you know, yeah, I'm obviously there's going to be great, you know, we obviously saw from before that we're going to be playing all the main, you know, Avengers.
Right.
But I like that they're being very clear. Kamala Khan is your entry character, because in a lot of ways, she's the everyman. She is a fan of the Avengers, who gets drawn in and becomes one of them. And you know, I think that's a great entry point, you know, for the main storyline of the game. That you're following her story, and I don't know. I'm super excited.
I'm excited too. This trailer actually made me interested in this game.
Yeah, it made me go like, oh, when's it coming out? May. But obviously
the only thing I might turn you off is that they are like, we have DLC planned for years. Which
what?
I'm like,
well, cool. That's not a bad thing.
That is it. Is it
they're gonna charge for it?
I don't know how they word it, but yes.
Sure.
But they're like, that'll continue or the complete the story. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, the main game should be a complete story, and the DLC should be ancillary. But you know,
yeah.
Square Enix.
What are you gonna do, bro?
They gotta make their money.
Well, what are they, fucking EA now?
Don't give them any ideas.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay,
but I say that as like, I'm also.
Are you getting on Pottermore like right now?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what Patronus was.
Oh, okay. Well, we can.
I was doing the exact same thing.
Oh too. My god! I think I only remember mine because I was like, I got a. What was it?
Oh, there? I had a Mastiff.
That's right,
Mastiff.
I was right. It is a dog. I thought it was a smaller
specific
dog.
Breed of one too.
Yeah, well they have
yeah they have specific breeds.
Yeah, like Chihuahua.
I don't think
there was a Chow, but not shit. A. I didn't see a Chihuahua. Yeah, I was looking through a list to see if one would jog my memory, and it didn't. And I'm like, why don't I just go to the website? Well, you guys are talking about Marvel.
Yeah.
Just go over
no,
here.
I really liked a lot of these things, and yeah. I think the only thing that made me feel better is when I was like, I got an otter. Everyone was like, no, an otter is cool, and then people would kill, like, I think two people posted videos of
otters are adorable.
Otters
they like
being dicks.
They like crush little clamshells on their bellies with right. the rocks.
They hold hands when they sleep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they don't float away from each
otters.
Other.
So I don't know. I just can't picture. I always thought something that could sit on my shoulder or something I could pet.
Otter can sit on your shoulder. And you could pet it.
Yeah.
And it would hold
yeah,
your hand
have to hold
so
like
you
like
wouldn't
a baby.
Float away.
Like, that doesn't look imposing.
No, he can sit on your shoulder. You have,
what?
You have
carry
broad
the
shoulders.
Picky about your
you have, you have broad shoulders, sir.
I don't know. I,
you could,
I just
your
thought
shoulders
something
could have
gotten an amoeba
full.
Or something much more disappointing.
You couldn't get an amoeba.
I don't think
that was unofficially
those
animals.
Those are all animals, too.
And they're not officially
animals.
A gray squirrel.
Okay. What's the difference between a gray squirrel and a
color?
Color.
Fuck. That was Geek Pop this week, you assholes. I'm Big Chris.
Lisa.
Brian.
And Lincoln.
And your geek has just been popped.